The Apostle Paul wrote to his friend Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And from now on there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. On this Remembrance Sunday, as we recall the repeated scenes of crowds of people lining the streets of Royal Wootton Bassett, paying their respects as the bodies of young soldiers were returned to the United Kingdom, and nearer to home as we here have prayerfully followed the journey made by J.J. Chalmers, from being critically injured in Afghanistan through weeks and months of treatment in hospital. These words of the Apostle Paul, who says, I have fought the good fight, seem to be at odds with our experience. For on Remembrance Sunday, there seems to be nothing at all good about the fighting in our thoughts. The wars that have taken away those we miss so much, and which have left so many others scarred for life with physical and emotional injuries. And yet there would be no warfare unless those prepared to support what is good fought against a perceived evil. So long as evil stalks the earth, it will encourage good men and women to fight against it, whether on the physical or the spiritual front. Why do we remember today? We remember today mainly because we cannot forget, and we should not forget, the great sacrifice made by so many. In his play Julius Caesar, William Shakespeare wrote, "The evil that men do lives after them. The good is oft interred with their bones." And yet, these words are patently untrue. For courage and dedication, commitment and fortitude, these are the virtues that are undying and immortal. They are never, never wasted, and are so much stronger than evil that they will make it to eternity, leaving evil a long, long way behind. Yet despite the inevitability of war, there is also a desperate futility. There is so much loss and so little apparent gain. Will it always be so, we ask? Well, our Lord has not promised a sea change this side of the end. In Mark's Gospel, in chapter 13, verse 7, we hear Jesus say, "When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come." In our frail humanity, we look at the carnage, but God sees beyond. We look at the buried grain while God has the eventual harvest in view. But there are so many lives which go down in war. That's true, but even one life lost would be tragic. As we approach this season of Advent, we recall that it was terrible that innocent children were massacred when Jesus had to flee Bethlehem for Egypt. And we wonder at the futility of it each Christmas time as the commemoration of the holy innocents impacts upon our nativity joy. The writer of Ecclesiastes tells us, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. A time for war? Yes, there is. But also a time for peace. and this side of eternity, both will come to pass. After some wars comes peace, when the sacrifice appears to have brought some reward. After others, as we have seen in more recent conflicts, peace still seems to be at a premium, and any advantage gained appears to be a misnomer. The pessimists declare that the world is on a helter-skelter of conflict, and all we can do is career from one war to the next. But are they right? Has the sacrifice of Christ really made so little difference? The militant atheist Richard Dawkins has said that one of the main reasons he attacks religions, and it seems Christianity in particular, is that religion causes war. And the obvious answer to this accusation is to point out that atheists too cause wars. In the last century, Joseph Stalin, Adolf Hitler, Mao Zedong, Pol Pot between them caused the deaths of many, many millions of innocent people. A total death toll far exceeding the number killed in all the so-called religious wars. So while it's eminently clear that war is not always caused by religion, we have to admit that sometimes a distortion of religion, and it seems Christianity in particular, has been the cause of war. Have we ever thought what a strange anomaly and irony it must present to non-believers to have opposing sides declaring that they are fighting in the name of Jesus for the right? How can we defend the honour of Christ's name here? And yet God allows these wars. He doesn't cause them, and it must surely grieve him to see Christians fighting each other. Only he knows how he can bring good out of evil. But he can. With human beings it may be impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. While Satan is still at work in the world, good will rise up against him. Yes, even if it needs to fight for its principles, and even if it means dying for them, and even if it means doing right in a wrong cause, for the good that is on the earth is still bound by human limitations. James, in his letter, wrote, "Anyone then who knows the right thing to do and fails to do it commits sin. Justice and the right thing will continue to take Christians into war while the earth remains. But the fight is not only against flesh and blood, but also against the perpetrator of evil, Satan." May we pray then, as we remember the fallen, that we may be led to further spreading the gospel throughout the world. For this is the promise of Jesus that will bring the end of time, which is the end of war. That is the best of all tributes we can make to those who have gone on ahead. While we rightly honour the fallen, we pray with the prophet Micah, "We shall beat their swords into plowshares, and our spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall we learn more war anymore." Amen.